Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
All right, well, as I'm doing this, if you guys want to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 10. There we go. Luke chapter 10, open up your Bibles. And to be clear, when I say open up your Bibles, doesn't matter to me, doesn't matter to God if you have a physical paper Bible, a Bible on your tablet, a Bible on your phone. What matters is that you have one, that it is open, and that you read it. That's what he cares about. So go ahead and open up. And if you do not have one, please see me after the service and we can help rectify that situation. As we continue through the text in Luke chapter 10, it's important whether we're in Luke chapter 10 or not. Just as we go through the text, it's important to remember what we looked at in the previous weeks, and especially the immediate week before. This is not even mainly to remind ourselves of what we just looked at, although that is a big thing for it. But it's important because it directly feeds and informs the current week. So what happened, what we looked at last week, directly affects what we're looking at this week. Excuse me. Last week we looked at the events of verses 25 through 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And at the end, Jesus says to the crowd, and specifically to the lawyer that was asking the questions, he finishes up everything. And he says, "You go and do likewise." And that's the end of what we see. So we don't see what happened after that. I picture the crowd just kind of slowly kind of kicking at the dirt and slowly dispersing, very similar to John chapter 8 with the story of the woman caught in adultery. They just kind of all... they don't have anything to respond to Jesus with. There's nothing to say back to him. So they just all kind of slowly wander off, for lack of a better idea. But it's important for us to remember, what was Jesus speaking on? He was speaking on and showing the importance of loving God and loving our neighbors. And we see that these are not ways to acquire salvation, to earn faith. But instead, these are a sign of, they're an outflow of the faith that is already in us. This morning, we see two attempts to do this, to love God and to love your neighbor. We're looking at the story of Mary and Martha. This won't be the last time that those two sisters show up in the Gospels. And we'll see their brother Lazarus will make an incredible impact on Jesus' life. Now, again, and it probably feels like I've been saying this a lot lately, this is one of those very famous, very well-known stories in the Bible that we then often make assumptions on and kind of gloss over. Many of us dismiss it for reasons we'll get to later. And as I've said before, including last week, I try to take these stories that everybody knows at least the Sunday school version of, and I try to go deeper into them because there's so much more to them, so much more that God is communicating than just that surface level story that we've all grown up hearing and knowing. But I also want to be careful with that. And I say this only because I've said that part so many times. We don't want to try so hard at trying to find deeper meaning, try so hard to find something new that you haven't heard before, that we read something into the text that's not there, or that we create something that doesn't exist. While we want to try to get deeper into the text to mine God's word for stuff that we haven't heard in a while or heard before, we want to make sure that we are faithful to the text and faithful to God's word. My job is not to be creative. My job is not to make things sound better so that it appeals to more people. My job is to share the word of God and to teach to the best of my abilities what the word of God means. And I can promise you this, if I share insight or an opinion on something that you've never heard before or that you don't agree with, we can have a conversation about that. but just know it's not something I just made up, okay? It's something that has historically been taught in the church at some point in the last 2,000 years. I look through commentaries, I read theologians, guys dead long ago who are way smarter than myself, and through reading and studying the scriptures and lots of prayer, try to best determine what God wants me to share with you all. So with that being said, we're going to read, the story is just a couple of verses. We're going to read this morning's text, Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And as always, I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version, though I encourage you, grab whichever version you prefer, follow along as we read God's Word. So Luke 10, 38 through 42, Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" May God bless the reading of his word. So again, we all know this story. And I bet for at least 90% of you, you fall into two camps. One of two camps that I bet I can sum up each of those camps in one sentence. If you're a Martha, you see this story and you see that the work needs to get done no matter what else is going on. And Mary is lazy and inconsiderate. If you're a Mary, you read this story and you say Martha needs to chill out and quit bossing everyone around and enjoy life once in a while. That's how most of us read this story. And the question we need to ask, is that what the text shows us? No. We're going to dive into that. So we start in verse 38. The crowd dispersed from the passage we read last week, and Jesus and his followers continue on their journey from village to village. Here they stop in the town of Bethany, which is 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. This is where Mary and Martha live. And immediately, Martha is modeling, love your neighbor. The scriptures tell us that Jesus has no place to lay his head. And Martha welcomed him into her home and was practicing the gift of hospitality. Now, hospitality is a big deal in the scriptures. Old Testament is full of commands to show it and examples of when Jewish people both did and did not show hospitality. Paul writes in Romans 12:13, a section where Paul is writing the true marks of a Christian life. He writes, "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." 1 Peter 4:9, Peter writes, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." These are but two of many of the New Testament examples where hospitality is shown as one of the ways that we can best love our neighbors. And Martha does this. She brings Jesus and presumably at least the apostles, if not more of his followers, into her home. She went about using her gifts to show love and to serve. It is very likely that she was very good at administration, at serving, about all hospitality, of course, as we see, of all these different ways that allow her to, at a moment's notice, bring these people into her home and to give them a wonderful meal, rooms to stay in, places to gather around, a clean home, and all these things. Martha was very gifted and was using these gifts to love her neighbor and to serve God. Now, while in Mary and Martha's home, Jesus did what he does. And this would not have come as a complete surprise to the sisters. But Jesus held a teaching session. And wherever Jesus went, lots of people followed. And so when he had the chance, he would teach to that large group. He would share the truth of just about everything specific to what is the truth. What does the Word of God say? What does it mean? Who is Jesus? And what is the gospel? These are things that he would teach at many, many occasions as people gathered around him. And it would seem to indicate in this text that Mary and Martha are well off. They had room to host Jesus and his friends. They had room to have additional people in there sitting and listening and standing and listening while Jesus taught. They had the resources and likely servants to provide for all these people. And they both loved Jesus, and they both wanted to show him that love. In verse 39, we see how Mary showed her love for Jesus. She sat at his feet. She listened to his teaching. And sitting at the feet of a teacher was considered a sign of submission to the authority of the teacher. It was a place of, it was like sitting in the front row of class. This was strictly forbidden by the ancient rabbis. For Jesus to even teach Mary was frowned upon and considered a waste of time. But for her to sit at his feet, that was forbidden. And so Jesus again is showing that it doesn't matter who you are. Come to Christ and know the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. Theology and knowledge of God's Word is not limited to any group of people, but all are welcome to come and sit at his feet. Mary wanted to hear from him directly. She wanted to soak in God's Word. She had a desire to learn. She was showing her love for God by being sanctified by the hearing and studying of God's Word, as we are all called to do. In verse 40, we see that Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, that's a little vague, and I think it's a little vague on purpose. We don't know exactly what was going on. Was she fussing with the cooks who were trying to get the meal ready? Was she doing the dishes after the meal so that they would get done and not sit there? Was she in the middle of trying to get the rooms prepared for people to stay in? Could be any other number of things going on. Truth is, we don't know. We do know that we do see Martha's personality in this. Martha was a real go-getter. Commentator Kent Hughes calls her a whirlwind. She was caught up in doing what she saw needed to be done. She didn't want to be distracted with serving, but she saw things needed to be done, and she was going to go get them done. She wanted to be sitting with and listening to Jesus as well. She wanted to be right next to Mary, listening to the words of Jesus. When the text says that Martha was distracted with serving, what it says is in the original language, it denotes the idea that she is being pulled away from what she wanted to be doing. She didn't want to be doing the tasks and the serving that she was being distracted with. But in her personality, she saw things that needed to be done and dealt with, and she had to go deal with them. Great example today. We see this morning two examples of that. Moms with young kids in church. We see that. They're in the sanctuary listening, or should I say trying to listen. We see an example wanting to worship God while teaching their children to worship and trying to maintain their focus and keep a check on the children's behaviors. Getting pulled away from that and wanting getting pulled away from what they want to do because of their duties with the kids. That's what Martha's dealing with. But there were things that hadn't been done yet. Martha's sitting there, and you can tell Martha is thinking what many of us think at times. I'm the only one that's going to go do it. Nobody else will. Or maybe somebody else would be willing to go do it, but they're not going to do it right. And we can easily get caught up in doing our things that we get mad at everyone else who is not doing the same thing as us. They're not serving the way that I serve or I see needs to be served, and so they're not doing anything. Because they're not doing what I'm doing, they're not doing anything. That's how we often look through our eyes at the different ways that people around us serve. Serving is a gift, and we are to use that gift to love others. And Martha shows us an example of where serving gets in the way of loving instead of serving being loving. Martha was, of course, mad at Mary. It's so easy to get mad at those who are closest to us, and especially siblings. You can picture Martha giving Mary one of those "if looks could kill" stares. And Mary was probably very clearly and purposely pretending she didn't see it. But Martha didn't just get mad at Mary either. Martha got mad at Jesus. She was mad at him for letting this all happen. We will so often get increasingly critical of those who are not doing what we think they should be doing. And this grows and this festers and this builds. And we get increasingly critical of those who allow the things that we're getting mad at. Especially sometimes God. God, why are you letting this happen? Can't you see that I'm trying to take care of all of this because nobody else will do it? No, I don't want to see what they're doing over there. They're not doing what I see here. God, why are you letting this happen? And oftentimes we then get increasingly critical of ourselves. There's so much to get done. I'm the only one doing it, but I'm not doing enough. And so in this process of emotions and thoughts and frustration, and as we're going to see coming up, anxiety within Martha, she lashes out at Jesus. Again, in ways we tend to do today still. Lord, you're doing it wrong. You're letting these things happen when they shouldn't happen. And you're not letting these things happen that should happen. I know better. Do it this way, the way I think is best, and everything will go so much smoother. Is that just me? You guys don't ever do that? Okay. We get tied up in the idea that Jesus needs us to do stuff. Because we look around and we see if I don't do it, and this is whether we see correctly or not, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. And so therefore, Jesus needs me to do it. Jesus doesn't need us. He doesn't need our works. He doesn't need our deeds. Luke records in Acts 17:25 that the Lord is not served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. However, Jesus does want our good works. That's what we were made for. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God wants our good deeds. He wants our service. He wants these things that we are called to do, and he chooses to use them for his redemptive purposes, but he does not need them. And that burden that he needs us, that burden that we put on ourselves, that burden is a burden that we cannot and we were never meant to bear. But it's a burden that we so often put on ourselves, a burden that continually pulls at us, pulls us away from what we would rather be doing so that we are distracted with whatever it is that we need to do because God needs us to do it. Pulls us away from loving God and loving our neighbor. Jesus knows that we put these burdens on ourselves. He addresses these burdens. He tells us in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He's addressing this mindset, this emotional state, this exactly what we are seeing in Martha here that we so often have inside of us. You are never meant to carry that burden. Jesus doesn't need us to accomplish anything. He wants us to serve him, to show our love for him by obeying his commands. There's a big difference in those. It's not needed, it's desired. As a quick aside, this passage in Matthew's gospel takes part in Matthew's version in the same paragraph as when we read just a few verses earlier in Luke's gospel. Luke 22, parallel passages, and Matthew's gospel adds on that passage we just read. So Jesus looks at us and he's able to take this burden off of us. He is the one that is able to give us rest from our work. He is the one who is able to look at Martha, see her heart, her attitude. He is the one that sees the motivation behind what is going on. And he responds to Martha. Not by sharply rebuking her. He doesn't lash out back at her. Instead, he says, "Martha, Martha, Repeating a name like this is we see it throughout the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament. But repeating a name like this is a Jewish way of showing love and affection, of showing tenderness and gentleness. And so he says, Martha, Martha, to let her know where he is coming from and what he is saying. He says, Martha, you are too anxious. He's telling her that her to-do list is too long and her priorities have gotten out of whack. She wasn't able to let things go undone. She was not able to stop worrying about the things not getting done. His message is, Martha, you are not resting in me. And here's the thing. Jesus didn't tell her to stop necessarily. This is because her actions were a result of her love of Christ. Martha's actions were not wrong in and of themselves. They became wrong because they were not submitted to the heart of Jesus and the will of God. And that's what happens in the story. In trying to love God and love neighbor, she was trying to do instead of trying to be. And she was allowing it to pull her away from what she wanted, which was time to rest in Christ. Jesus says to her, Martha, you are troubled about many things. So often we're troubled about stuff at work or the conversations we had on the phone with family or friends or money or anything we see on the news and whatever. And when that happens, it's so easy. When we get so troubled with the things that are going on, it's so easy to take it out on those closest to us. Martha was troubled about many things, and she took it out on Mary, and she took it out on Jesus. Now, again, I want to be clear about what Jesus is not telling Martha here. He is not saying Mary did right and you, Martha, did wrong. Jesus is not saying you need to be Mary. Because both of them have ways that they are showing their love for Christ. And Martha needs to take time to step back, to rest in Christ, to sit at his feet, to listen to his teachings. But Mary, if she doesn't do anything else but sit at his feet, is not showing her faith in action. She needs to get up and do at some point. All the knowledge we have in our head, all the good intentions and the motivations we have in our heart, all the studying that we do of God's word, if we don't put that in the application, they mean nothing. So again, we don't address Mary in the story necessarily, but I don't want to raise her up as if she's the one doing what is right without addressing that there's still stuff that needs to be done. Jesus is telling Martha, you are anxious and you are troubled about many things, and that anxiety is pulling you away from what is right. Jesus says one thing is necessary. Now, of course, this leads to the question, what is that one thing? Survey says, Jesus. That's right. Specific to this context, Jesus, the Word of God. Jesus, the Word incarnate. And that's what Mary has chosen here. She is spending time with the Word of God. Again, this is not about Mary and Martha themselves. It's certainly not about Mary versus Martha, despite how it's usually portrayed. This is, again, as I just said, Martha still needs quiet prayer time. She needs time with the Word of God. And Mary, at some point, needs to get up and act. She needs to put her faith into action. And all of us need to do both of those things. And all of us tend to one side or the other. That's why I was able to say earlier, 90% of us are going to fall into one of those two camps and dismiss the other side of the story. Because we tend to either action without rest or time without action. And as we grow and we mature and we spend more time with God, we spend more time resting in him, we spend more time serving in action him, then we will get a better balance of that. But our innate human natural tendency is not to have a balance in that, but to do one or the other. Jesus says that Mary has chosen the good portion. Now, I think it's interesting as he says that, I think back to when the apostles were arguing about who is greater in the kingdom, who is going to be greater in the kingdom among them. We've seen Jesus do this before. When we start a conversation or we start a competition or we start a dynamic that we assume one is right and one is wrong, or one is better and one is worse, and we expect Jesus to clarify that. Instead, he does not say that Mary chose the better portion or that Mary chose better than Martha. He says Mary chose the good portion. As we've seen Jesus do this before, who is going to be better, or who is going to be more in the kingdom of heaven? The one who is least shall be first. He doesn't give them the answer they're looking for because they're looking for the wrong answer. And if we look at this passage looking for Mary or Martha to be better than the other, he's not going to give us that answer because we're looking for the wrong answer. This portion, this good portion, will never be taken away. The one who chooses Jesus was first chosen by Jesus. And to the one who has Jesus, Jesus will never be taken away. Martha was anxious about many things. And despite what some would think or some would teach from up here, from this pulpit specifically, just in general, pastors, whatever, this does not mean that somebody who is anxious or deals with anxiety, it does not mean that they fail to trust Jesus. The truth is that while we still have a saving faith, a trust in the work of Jesus, our day-to-day walk with Christ will fluctuate. Often, we have days that are better than others. Some days our trust will go up and down. Some days we will have bad days. Our anxiety will go up. We're not losing trust in the work of Christ and in our salvation and in those big things. But sometimes we have trouble today trusting about how this situation will turn out. Sometimes we have difficulty in those days and our anxiety will raise up. We see often in those bad days, those times when we get very anxious, not always, but often, it's times when we feel further from God, or when we haven't been in the Word of God enough, or we've been listening to too much secular news, or we've been following politics too closely, or we've been arguing with people around us using the same tactics as those who are not held to a higher standard that Christ calls us to, or we haven't been in church enough, or whatever the reason. There's a disconnect or a separation that for some reason we're having trouble that day trusting the situation in front of us, trusting God to deal with that situation in the way that he said he would. And things like that will cause our anxiety to go up. It'll cause us to be anxious about many things, and we will pull away from our walk and our submission to Christ. As Martha is pulled away from sitting at the feet of Jesus, because she was distracted with serving and she was anxious about many things. What gets us back to our walk with Christ and our submission to Christ is the good portion, the one thing that's necessary, and that's the Word of God. I'm going to leave us with a couple of passages of Scripture, four of them, two of which we've already heard this morning. The first one, as Mike read earlier, Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Matthew 11:28-30, as I read earlier, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. 1 Peter 5:6-11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And lastly, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we struggle sometimes. And though we have our faith in you and our trust in you, that we are saved by your grace through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that you have promised that you will hold on to all that have been given to you. Lord, day by day we struggle. This world can so easily pull us down. The enemy prowls around looking to devour us. And we see the things going on in this world. We see the effects that sin has had. We see the devastation happening. As we prayed this morning, the fires going on, hurricane hitting again down in the southeast in Louisiana, the stuff going on in Afghanistan. As Peter said, our brothers throughout the world are suffering. And we see these things, and we know that this is not how the world is supposed to be. And it can cause us to lose faith that this situation will be dealt with. Lord, why wouldn't you just do it this way? Lord, why can't you have so-and-so do this or do that? Why can't you just do it the way that I think would be best? Lord, forgive us and help us walk through this. Give us that peace beyond understanding. Give us that love that surpasses all knowledge. Lord, help us to remember you as our anchor as we go through these times when we are pulled away from you, pulled away by being distracted and being anxious. And help us to remember to serve out of love for you, to do the things that you have called us to do, the good works you have created us for, and to make time to rest in you, to sit at your feet and listen to your teachings. Help us to have that balance. So we pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to caseyholenchek.com. That's caseyholenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened thus far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us.
If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at kcholenchik.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.